Amen. What a gospel-centered song to sing as we prepare our hearts to receive from the Word of God and to rejoice in the goodness of who He is and what He has done. If you're new to our congregation, you will wonder why the pastor here wears such a strange shirt. So let me tell you that once in a while, due to the theme that we are having, the theme of being under construction as God's people, I do put on a strange shirt to remind you. So if you are going blind, you are welcome to lower your eyes. Please do not close them. And we will remember who God is longing for us to become. This morning we're going to look at a text that is perhaps one of the most important texts when it comes to being a true disciple of Jesus, when it comes to this reality that we are trying to understand and apply of being under construction. This verse is an interesting verse, passage, really entire passage, not only in that it is in the last throes of Jesus' life on earth. He is preparing his disciples, really preparing us to live life in the place he has left us here on earth, but also because of the importance that this text has played over the history of the church. We are talking about John chapter 15. John 15, interestingly enough, was the passage that was first read on the moon. I don't know if you know the story. I did not until I was doing some of the research for this message, that Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were the first humans to walk on the moon, both strong believers. Buzz was an elder at his Presbyterian church, and he wanted to worship on that very special occasion when they were walking on the moon. So publicly, what was made known is this. This is the LM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and give thanks in his or her own way. How many of you remember that? I was born a month later, so I do not. But what happened in that moment of silence where really it felt like all of North America was listening in and trying to understand what was going on? Now I'll give you Buzz's words. In the radio blackout, I opened the little plastic packages which contained the bread and the wine. I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. And in the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Then I read the following scripture. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bring the branches forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He went on to say that he had meant to read a passage from the communion passages, Matthew 26 or 1 Corinthians 11. But because the scientists that were Christians were under attack from Madeleine O'Hara, the great atheist, if you want to call her that, because there was this attack on Christians, NASA asked him not to. And so he chose John 15 to read instead. It is a passage that is a warning passage. And when we say a warning passage, what do we mean by that? We mean that in this passage, what Jesus is going to declare is that there are those who are true followers of his and those who think they are followers of his and are not. It's not only a warning passage, but it's also a victorious passage. It's going to teach us how we can become a fruit-bearing church, or if you want more specifically and more personally, how you can become a fruit-bearing individual. This passage wants to shout out to us that it's important to follow Jesus. It's important to know that you are a follower of Jesus, and it's important to check your fruit once in a while. Jesus, when he was teaching those around him who claimed to be his followers or followers of God, said this, Matthew 3 verse 8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Or Matthew 12 verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now, that should seem obvious to us. If you plant an apple tree in your backyard, what kind of fruit should you expect it to produce? Apples, thank you. Let's try this again. If you plant a plum tree in your backyard, what kind of fruit should you expect it to produce? Not apples? Now, that seems kind of obvious, right? But Jesus declares the obvious because so often those who claim to be his followers are self-deceived. Some know they're not followers and claim. But from my own experience and the experience of many who have shared their own testimonies with me, I think often those who think they are Christians but aren't are self-deceived and have not gone to passages like John 15 to do fruit checks. And so if you have your Bibles here with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to John 15, where we will hear this warning and be encouraged, where we'll hear this warning, and God willing, if it's something you struggle with, it will awaken in your heart a new desire to know Jesus, where we will hear together how we as disciples individually and corporately can be full of fruit and so prove to be disciples of our King. I will read starting in verse 1 to verse 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Verse 14, I think, is one of the most precious verses in the Bible when you know how great Jesus is. We won't spend any time on it, but a worthwhile verse to meditate on. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. As you look at a passage like this, there are some general observations I would like to make, and then move into the introduction of the text itself. The first observation is that the purpose of Jesus in these verses, he states very profoundly and very clearly that you would love one another, speaking as authentic disciples, and that your joy would be full. And so this warning passage is going to sound out from Jesus is not only that we would know we're authentic, but then we would pursue the spirit-filled life, that we'd be those kind of people that know him and live for him and have in our lives this mark of joy and this mark of love. Another general observation, he speaks of spiritual fruit here and defines it a little bit, but I think it would be helpful for us as we look at this passage and as we measure our lives by it to understand what the Bible means by fruit, spiritual fruit. Just like you get apples from an apple tree and plums from a plum tree, a Christian will bear certain kinds of fruit. This is all over the Bible. In fact, it's one of the main themes of understanding if you're authentically a follower of Jesus. It says, by your fruits you will know them. By how you live, by how you look, by the impact you have, you can know if you're truly a Christian or not. So briefly, again, just before we get into the text, what is spiritual fruit? I just want to give you some of the things that the Bible says. First, I want us to note that it's spiritual impact on people. Now, usually when we talk about fruit, the first thing you think of is evangelism, and that is absolutely correct. And I'm just trying to go in the natural order that most people think. And evangelism is correct, but it's more than that. It's an impact on others for God's glory, for their good, for their conformity to Jesus. Listen to Romans 1:13. This is Paul's desire to minister to the Roman church believers so that he can bear fruit like he has in other churches. In other words, he's saying, listen, I want to be someone who has fruit, and my fruit is that you conform more to be like Jesus. You live your lives more impacted for him. And so when we talk about spiritual fruit, we mean an impact on others for God and for God's glory. So it includes introducing them to Jesus, but it includes far more than that. It includes helping them conform to the likeness of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, Paul just says, listen, these people came to know Jesus under my ministry. They are the first fruits of that place. And then that fruit, as they're impacted and as they grow. So when we talk about spiritual fruit, when we're going to start evaluating our lives by what this passage teaches, when the word fruit is used, you can think of spiritual impact on others. Not only that, you can think of conformity to Christ or being like Jesus. Or if you want to just have one word kind of in your mind, impact for the glory of God. Now, character to be like Jesus. I mean, the obvious passage to go to, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Being a follower of Jesus or having the fruit that shows you're that kind of a tree, and we're going to get into a little different terminology as we study John 15, means you'll have an impact on others, means your character will be conformed to Jesus. I love Colossians 1:10 in light of this. There's Paul praying for these people so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, bearing fruit in their character and in their impact. Not only that, we talk about spiritual fruit being thanksgiving. What comes out of you when you're squeezed? And again, we're not looking for perfection, but we're looking for direction. And more as Christians, what should come out of us is thanksgiving. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done. I'm thankful for what he is doing. I'm thankful for the privilege of being his child. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. What's it saying? It's saying that how we speak in thanksgiving and praise marks who we are, or maybe more particularly, marks whose we are. So you have impact, you have character, you have thanksgiving. And then this passage brings out two more. One is effective prayer, or you just call it prayer. Verse 7 of our text, he just kind of declares, listen, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now in the context, it's important to understand, it's in this relational intimacy where we know him and are known by him and are living for him. But if that's true of us, when we pray, we will discover that God answers our prayers. So spiritual fruit is effective prayer. And then lastly, it's this abundant, joy-filled life. John 10, verse 10, that's the kind of life he wants us to live. In our own text, it's how he ends. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And then you go up, not only that love displays, but verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This overflowing joy that leads to love, and it is a fruit of those who know Jesus. It's a fruit of those who remain in Jesus. And so in the context of what this passage is going to teach us, from now on when we use the word fruit, what we want to understand is more particularly what that means, and its impact, its character, its thanksgiving, its prayer, its joy. So with that understanding, let's go to the text itself. And really in the first verse, I just want to see is the introduction or the persons. Because we don't understand who is being talked about, it becomes much more difficult to apply this text to our lives. And it's actually fairly easy to see, but we just want to declare it. Verse 1, I am the true vine. Who is speaking? Jesus. So anytime you see the word vine in here in this particular passage, the true vine. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel is known as the vine. Every passage in the Old Testament, in the context of that passage, is this ownership. They belong to God, but they've been disobedient and they're going to be disciplined. And so Jesus, most scholars here think, is declaring, I'm the true vine, meaning I'm the one who is perfectly obedient. I am the true vine. Jesus, it's talking about our master, our savior. I'm the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. All right, who's the vine dresser? God, who's the gardener? Well, in this context, God the Father. So Jesus is the vine. The Father is the one who takes care of and looks after the vine and the branches. Now we're introduced to the third major subject, the branch. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, we'll just stop for a minute. Who is he defining as the branch? Now, there's much debate, and it's very important how we answer this if we're going to understand the rest of the text. The branch here is anyone who claims to be a follower of God, or anyone, particularly now we'll speak about Cloverdale Baptist Church, anyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. It does not necessarily mean you're a true follower. We'll explain that as we develop the passage. It's important to understand that because you're going to see Jesus saying some branches are removed totally, other branches stay. And to understand that, we need to understand the context that not everyone who says they're a Christian, not Jesus, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, this passage is a warning, and we'll get into that. This passage wants to have everyone who hears it, who claims to be a follower of Jesus, awaken in their hearts and say, I want to make sure that I'm a true follower. I want to make sure that I have fruit. And so this morning, Jesus is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. And if you claim to be a Christian, in other words, you just claim to be a follower of Jesus, then you are a branch. Now, what kind of branch you are will be defined by this passage. But what makes you a branch in this text is that you claim that you're a Christian. And again, why this text is so important in modern discipleship is there's so many high percentage of people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and yet their lives are not changed. They don't have any spiritual impact. They're mouths are filled with bitterness and brokenness, not thanksgiving, and there's no joy in their lives. And so for us, it's a chance to evaluate, a chance to know who we are. So I want to shift into that introduction. Now, there's a warning, and I've just said it's a positive and negative warning, and again, we're just kind of barely getting into this, but I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now here's a warning, and it's a positive and negative warning. If you claim to be a Christian, but you have no fruit, you will be removed. And if you claim to be a Christian, and you have fruit, you will be pruned. You see, there's no other option here. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're authentic, you will be pruned. By the way, I'm not a great gardener. The fruit trees I eat from are other people's fruit trees. But my Father is a great gardener. When you're pruning something, what do? Somebody help me. Who's a gardener? You cut off pieces, you shape it, you hurt it. At least if I was a branch, I might feel that way. See, there's a warning in here of what authentic Christianity will feel like, as well as a warning here that if you are someone who claims to be a Christian and you're not a Christian, it will show in the fruit you bear and the Father will remove you. Now, again, let me just put it in context. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. In other words, this is to the specific disciples. Don't fear. Produce. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, now listen what happens to those who are not producing fruit because they're not abiding, they're not in a relationship, no matter what they claim, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Okay, again, I want to keep it relatively simple. What the Bible teaches, and this passage certainly affirms and teaches, is that if you're a follower of Jesus, you will have fruit, a true, authentic follower of Jesus. You will have fruit. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, but you're claiming to be a follower of Jesus, you will not have fruit. And the Father will remove you. The Father will declare that you are false. The Father will show that. And so the first warning I want to sound out as clearly as I can, if you are here this morning and you are willing to do a fruit check on your life, no matter what you claim, and you discover there's not a lot of impact on others, there's not a lot of love, there's not a lot of joy, there's not a lot of thanksgiving when you open your mouth, then this morning, instead of trying harder, which won't work, I know I tried harder, you need to get intimate with Jesus. Maybe stated another way, you need to go back to the gospel and believe. And so if you're here this morning, the Spirit of God is at work in you, and he's saying to you, I don't care if you've been here for 50 years as a quote-unquote Christian. For me, I was 19 years growing up in the church before I was shaken awake by a text like this. If you're here, no matter what you've claimed, but you look around at your life and you don't see spiritual fruit, then this morning, take the time to meditate on the gospel. In fact, very rarely will I say this, but this morning I will. If you're here this morning and now you just have a fear gripping your heart, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know what's going on. I know as I look at my life, I'm claiming the right things, but my life isn't showing the right fruit. Then go back to the gospel and plead with God that you would understand and believe. Because when you believe, you will abide. And when you abide, you will produce. Here's the first warning. If you're here and you're not bearing fruit, go back to the basics. Go back to the gospel and don't leave until joy and love and faith has gripped your heart. Now the second warning is the pruning warning. And as Christians, we need to understand that one of the ways that God loves us is allowing pain into our lives. You may say, well, what kind of pain? And the Bible isn't specific on the kind of pain, just that there will be pain. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of various kinds. And I think sometimes as Christians, we get in a walk with God and we think, now, God, you need to make my life easy because I'm serving you. You need to make my life easier because I'm allowing you to rule in my life. And in actual fact, when we see the love of God, Hebrews 12 talks about this as well. One of the marks of the love of God is that he will bring pruning into our lives, or positive discipline, Hebrews 12 calls it. He'll bring those things into our lives so that more and more will become who he wants us to be. More and more will produce what he wants us to produce. And so my challenge in the context of a warning to you this morning, if you're an authentic believer and you're looking at your life and you're seeing pain, you're experiencing pain, that you would embrace that because of what it's producing, that you would count it all joy. That in faith you would say to God, I don't enjoy the pain, but I want so much to produce the fruit. And so my life is yours. Would you work in me? Introduction. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the gardener. I claim to be a Christian. Therefore, I am one of the branches. The warning, if you're a branch that doesn't bear fruit, you will be removed, thrown into the fire and burned. If you're a branch that is bearing fruit, the Father will prune you so that you can bear more fruit. Thirdly, I want us to just stop at the concept of a relationship with fruit. I want to read the whole passage again. This passage to me is just so rich, we could spend months in it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, here's the secret to victorious Christian living. Here's the secret to bearing fruit. You're abiding in the vine. Did you catch that? So how do we do that? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What are some active, dependent things we can do to abide in him? In other words, relationally, what are some choices we can make according to this passage so that we can be those who are producing fruit? We acknowledge that apart from him, we can do nothing. We acknowledge that it's relational. And if we know him, if we're abiding in him, then we will produce fruit. We acknowledge those two things. Now, more specifically, what does this text tell us we have to do if we want to be those who are producing fruit? The first one is we need to let his words abide in us. Three times this statement is given. We need to be word saturated. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Know the word, obey the word, live in the word. If we were going to Romans 12, we would say, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be healthy disciples, we need to be in the word, and the word needs to be in us. We need to be a people who memorize the word of God, who study the word of God, who read the word of God, who long for the word of God to own us and define us. Psalm 138 verse 2 tells us that God esteems those who esteem his name and esteem his word. Are we abiders? I think as a church we are. But we're only as healthy in this as the people who call this church home. Are you abiding? Joshua 1:7, I love this. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. We want to be a church that abides. And if we're going to be a church that abides, we want to be individuals that abide. And abiding means we know the word, we hunger for the word, we read the word, we memorize the word, and whatever the word says, we obey. Brothers and sisters, are you abiding? Are you spending time in the word? Are you longing whenever you hold it up as a mirror to your life? And Pastor Thomas will take us here in a few weeks. Are you a doer of the word, not just a hearer? Let his words abide in us. Secondly, I've just called this ask him, a relational pursuit, or we could call this prayer. But I want you to see in this text that prayer is a major part of it. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's the word. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Skip ahead to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask in the Father's name, in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What the Bible is saying is, if you want to be someone who abides, if you want to be someone who produces fruit, if you want to be one of those branches that is bearing fruit, if you want to be someone who's under construction and growing, then not only do you need to be in the word, you need to be in prayer, you need to be in the presence of God, actively pursuing his best, pleading with him, asking him for things. Brothers and sisters, how is our prayer life? Well, let's get more specific because it's easy to critique others. How is your prayer life? Are you abiding? Are you choosing to be word saturated? Are you choosing to pray? And then thirdly, I've just used the word love. Although it's God's love for us and our love for others in this text. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 12, verse 17. Let's read them so we get the idea from God's word. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. You notice how personal that is. Abide in my love. Know my love. Experience my love. Experience the greatness of what Jesus has done for us. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I commanded you so that you will love one another. We need to be actively choosing to love. Now you might say to me, that's tough because the people that God has placed in my life, the people that God has given to me to love are difficult to love. And my answer would be the comparison that Jesus makes. Abide in his love. Now, what's the example? What's the model for us? How are you to love? You see what Jesus says? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How did he love us? Did we deserve it? Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While I was a great guy, God died for me. Is that what it says? Okay, help me out. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for me. Is that his love on display? Is that his demonstrated love? So let me say to you, if you want to be someone who abides and you come to me and you say, yes, but my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my workmates are unlovable. They're sinners. My answer back to you with tears would be love like the demonstrated love for you. Self-sacrificial. Choosing God's best for them as you abide in God's love for you. My wife, Lori, was shopping with a friend and I was there. And the friend said to Lori, one of the ways you can get your husband to buy you whatever you want is you tell him it's not a want, it's a need. Oh, the heresy that is found there. But let me say this in terms of love for the believer. It's not a want, it's a need. It's not just a need because it's commanded. It's a need because if you don't have it, you're not abiding. If you don't choose it, you won't be a fruit-producing disciple. Love seeks the other's personal best at personal cost. Love reaches out to those who sin and chooses to give them God's best. Has God placed someone in your life that's unlovable so that he can show them his love through you? My guess would be the answer to that is yes. So obey. We've seen an introduction, the description of who the persons are that we're dealing with in this text. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener, the branch, anyone who claims to follow him. We've seen a warning that's been shot out, a warning that says if you're not bearing fruit, you need to go back to the very beginning of the gospel and see if you're really saved or not. See if you're one of those branches. I was raised in the church for many years. I was a very good Mennonite. Morally good, at least better than the people around me. And I didn't know Jesus until, well, after first year of Bible college. Maybe you're here today and that warning has hit your heart. Please talk to someone before you go. We'll pray with you and we'll plead for your heart to be opened and your faith to be enlivened. If you're going through pain, rejoice. Because God is using that, if you're authentic, to help you become more fruit producing. And then for all of us who make the claim to be branches, we got some choices to make. Here's the three that I would say are the most important choices in your life. Choose to be word saturated. Choose to be a man or woman of prayer. Choose to experience the love of God and to love with that kind of love. Brothers and sisters, this is a challenging text. But it's also an encouraging text. Because as we're under construction, one of the things that just delights me as I see our church and I see fruit being produced in our church is that Jesus has his mark on us as his people. And one of the ways that we see that mark is that he wants to produce fruit in us and through us for his glory. So be challenged. Be encouraged. Be authentic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we are in awe of your grace. Even here, the intimacy of which you want to have with your children so tightly connected. Father, there are some here being pruned and are hurting, and I pray they would feel the encouragement that comes from this text and a new pursuit of pleasing you and producing fruit. Father, there are those here that don't know you, some who have been in church for a long time, some here for the first time. God, would you awaken in them through the power of your Spirit faith in what you, our Lord Jesus, has done. Your death, your resurrection, the payment that is paid in full. Father, for us as a congregation, we know apart from you, we can do nothing. So on behalf of your people here, I declare that we will choose to be word saturated. We will choose to pray. We will choose to love, and we will wait on you as we see those choices turned into incredible spiritual impact. As we see those choices turned into a people that are more and more conformed into the likeness of your Son, our Lord Jesus, as we see those choices more and more leading us to be a people of thanksgiving and praise, as we see those choices leading more and more to answered prayer and to joy. Father, I dedicate these people to you. Lord Jesus, you are the vine. Father, you are the gardener. And we are your branches. Prune us so that we might become more and more fruitful for your glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.